along the way. I've seen trouble in my short days, but through it all I have no fear. See, I have a friend who is always so near.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. Sometimes the way seems steep, but we're just human and we're so weak. Take it from me, when the road gets rough, He'll be there to pick you up.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes.
If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. If the sun were to fall, if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye, for I stand upon the rock. He's the rock of all the ages, no matter what may come. The storm around me rages, I stand upon
what never changes. I stand upon what never changes.
Amen. Praise the Lord for the Word of God. You have your Bible open to Proverbs chapter number 4. And a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday morning, I got into this chapter and we didn't get out, so I want to try to get out tonight, okay? We'll highlight a few truths that are in this chapter. We've been talking about family in our Sunday night services, the importance of family, and the Bible has a lot to say about the family, the training of children, the responsibility of parents. And so I want to direct your attention once again to the fourth chapter. There's three thoughts in this chapter that I'd like for us to consider. We've considered one of them, and that is finding the right path. That's what this particular chapter is about. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look, if you would, in verse number 26. Verse number 26 of chapter 4, it says, ponder the path. And of course, in the previous chapter, we know that wonderful promise, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And here is a man who is instructing his children. If you'll note in chapter number 4, in verse number 1, it says, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. He said it again in verse number 10, He said, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings." Look at verse number 20. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear into my sayings." He's teaching his children some things. What's he teaching his children in this particular chapter? Of course, throughout the book of Proverbs, but in this particular chapter, he's teaching them on how to find the right path. Now, parents, I want you to listen to me. It's our responsibility as parents to teach our young children the right way. It just doesn't magically happen. To suppose that somehow our children are going to just turn out okay without the proper instruction, the proper biblical training, is a train wreck. And it doesn't happen. And so I want to encourage you now to continue to stay the course in teaching your children the Word of God. The Bible teaches in the book of Deuteronomy that you're to call your children together and you're to instruct them from the truths of this book. And here is a man that is not only instructing his children, but I want you to notice what he's saying here in verse number chapter 4. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. He said, "For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Look at verse 4. "He taught me also." Now, what is Solomon saying here? He's saying, "I'm passing on the baton. I'm passing on the truth, the instruction that I received from my father. Now I am instructing you as my children." Posterity and lineage is very important. It's very important that we invest some things that we have taken from the last generation, and we take those things and we invest them in the generation that is to come after us, in particular in that of our children. It's very important. And so we learn some things from this particular chapter about the path. Again, in verse number 26, he said, "Ponder the path." Now, what's he saying? "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all the ways of thy ways be established." In other words, he said, you need to consider what path in life you're going to take. You need to watch your steps. You know, it doesn't take too many errant steps to find yourself in a bad way and on a bad path. And so he said, you know, don't just begin to get out in life and take steps. And young people, as your parents teach you, yield to their teaching. Consider what they're teaching you. The Bible says, children, obey your parents. And if there's no other reason you obey us, it's just right. It's the right thing to do. And so finding the path, children need help. And it's the responsibility of a father and a mother to teach their children the right path. Now, he mentions something in verse number chapter 4 in verse number, look if you would in verse number 11. He said, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Verse 11, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths." Now, it's not just enough to help your child find the right path, but here is Solomon saying, "I have led you to those paths." It's not just enough to tell your children the right thing to do. We must teach our children by example. We teach. It's more than just telling, you should do this and you should do that or thus and thus. We teach by what we say, but we also train by what we do. And here he said again in verse number 11, he said, "I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths." It's very important to be a good example, isn't it? Isn't it? Our children are watching us. The next generation is watching to see if the God that we serve is worthy of our service. If the God that we serve is worthy of our praise. If we just go through the motions, if it's just something we do, if we just do church, which seems to be the catchphrase of our day. Well, you know, we don't do the church scene, or we do church on Sunday morning only. Listen, that's not what our young people need. That's not what the next generation needs. They need to see a parent, a father, a mother. They need to see folks that are committed to a cause. Like David, when he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not some things worthy of our time, of our interest, of our effort?" Amen. There's just some things that are worth it.
And I believe with all of my soul that Jesus is worth it.
Amen.
He's worth it.
Amen.
And we need to pass this passion. We need to pass this on to the next generation. And it's not going to happen with a whimsical, what for, maybe, so many ifs, ands. No, God is looking for some men and some women that'll get passionate, that'll get committed, that'll get dedicated to the cause. And here is this father, and he's saying, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. And there's certainly nothing wrong with sitting down with your children and teaching them, but your greatest form of teaching is by showing them, by leading them. And that's what he said in the latter part of verse number 11, I have led thee in the right paths. Now, that's finding the path. The children, the young children, the studies have been done, brethren. The studies have been done. All the major poster groups have done the studies. Family is where it's at. Now, I'm about up to here with this, it takes a village. All right? That's the world. That's the world. That's your Hillary Clintons of the world. It doesn't take a village. It takes a God-fearing dad and a God-fearing mother. It takes a parent or parents that are willing to instill some biblical principles into their children. It takes a God-fearing pastor, a God-fearing Sunday school teacher, children's church worker. You see, that's what it takes. It takes putting your children in the presence of people with a passion for God. Someone that has a fire in their heart to do the right thing. That's what it takes. Doesn't take a village. As a matter of fact, the worst thing you could do, the furthest thing that you want to get your children involved in is the village. You want to keep your children away from the village and get them involved in the church. Build your family, build your lives around the church, the local church, the Word of God. So that's finding the path. Number two, choosing the path. Now there's an old saying. You can lead a horse to water. What's the remainder of that saying? But you can't make him drink. Now listen, you can't live the Christian life through your children. I can't live the Christian life through my children. I can teach them. I can train them. Many of you have done that. Some of you are in the process of doing that. Now there comes a time where they have to choose. They have to choose. Now you train them, you teach them, and you teach them and you train them in the right way. And so the second thing is choosing that path. Notice if you would in verse number 18. So you help your child by teaching as a parent that there's paths in life. And they must make the choice. Now, I like what Solomon did here. He narrowed it down. You know, if you're not careful, you look around and you see all of these different ways, and you say, well, you know, it's this, and it's that, and it could turn into 6, 8, 10, a dozen paths. Can I tell you, there's two paths. Jesus defined them very well in Matthew chapter number 7. There's the narrow way, and there's the broad way. There's two paths in life, brethren, just two. And the psalmist, Solomon, did it right here. Notice what he did here in verse number 18. He said, but the path of the just. Now, I'd like for you to highlight that. You see, that's the path of the just. And then he said in verse number 19, the way or the path of the wicked. There's only two paths. You're either on one or the other. You're either saved and on the path of the just, or you're lost on the path of the wicked or the way of the wicked. And as parents, we have the responsibility to teach our children that you're only on one or the other path. If you're lost, if you've never professed Christ as your Savior, then you're on the way or the path of the wicked. As a Christian, you're on the path, in verse number 18, of the just. Two ways, all right? There's two ways. There's a choice that must be made in life. And every person is confronted with that choice. That is what a great portion of this proverb is about. It's about as a parent teaching your children that you must find that there's these two paths. And once you come to an understanding that there's two paths, the just, the wicked, then you must make a choice. Daddy can't make that choice for you. Mama can't make that choice for you. You have to choose. By the way, you're either on one of these two paths this evening. There is no in between. You know, we like this gray area that doesn't even exist. We like to in our minds believe, well, you know, I'm somewhere in between there, preacher. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I'm either saved or I'm lost. I'm either on the path of the just or the way of the wicked. Now, you can be in the path of the just and not be all you should be. But you can't be on both or neither. You're either on one or the other. Amen? And that's what this proverb is teaching, that we're to teach our children. Teach your children. As a matter of fact, hold your place here just for a moment and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And let's look at that scripture. We've looked at this. I've preached from it before. You've heard preaching from it in the past. But I want us to be reminded again in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Here Moses instructing the children of Israel. And he said here, after he had told them in chapter 6 to love the Lord, their God, with all their soul and with all their might, with all their heart. Then he said in verse number 6, look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says this, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now that's where it starts. You say, well, I'm going to teach my children to memorize scripture. How about you memorizing some scripture? Amen. How about me memorizing some scripture? Right? Well, preacher, we like it when our children memorize their Bible verse. Well, I think it's good if you memorize your Bible verse. Remember, we're leading them. We're leading them. We're not just pointing for them or telling them what to do. We're setting the example. You want your children to memorize scripture? You memorize some scripture. You want your children to serve God in church? You serve God in church. Get involved. Do something in the local church. Do something that counts for the kingdom, and your children, more times than not, will follow suit. All right? So here's what he said. He said, number one, it's got to be in your heart. Verse number 6. Then look, if you would, at verse 7. "And thou," now once you get it in your heart, now you're ready to teach them diligently unto thy children, "and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Now I'll stop there as we go back to Proverbs chapter 4 and make a few more comments, and then I'll close for tonight. But here is Solomon saying, you must get involved in helping your child find. There's finding the right path. And then as a young person here tonight, now young folks, look right up here at me. I'm glad you're at church tonight. And I just praise the Lord for the number of young people who come to the house of God, and they, many of them sit up front, they sit up straight, you pay attention. And that not only does your mom and your dad, it not only makes them proud in their heart, it makes your pastor proud. But I'm going to tell you something more important than making your mom and dad proud and your pastor proud. It pleases God. It pleases the Lord. When you come and you sit up and you have your Bible open and you're paying attention to the preaching and the teaching of God's Word. Because it's the preaching and the teaching of God's Word that's going to help pave the pathway of your life. And when you come to the crossroads, and listen to me now, there's crossroads in every path. You see, once you get on the path of the wicked and you're born that way, thank God for the crossroads where you can cross over and get onto the pathway of the just. But let me say that there's also crossroads in the path of the just. Not that we could ever be lost again, but there's detours and there's pitfalls to where we can get entangled with the things of this world and we can lose our way on the path of the just. As a matter of fact, this dad brought it up. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. He said, "When thou goest thy steps." I tell you, steps are so important, aren't they? You know, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Bible talks a lot about steps. And I think sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get up on any given day and just go through life and really not take into consideration that not only are our decisions so important, but the steps that we take, the places that we go, the people that we're with, The influences that we allow in our lives are so important. Doesn't take but one bad influence to get you off the path. Doesn't take but one false step to get you headed in a wrong direction. And so in verse number 12, notice again carefully, he said, when thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. I like that. He's saying here, Dad, he said, and this ties back into verse number 10 where he said, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings. I've taught thee, I've led thee. And he said, when thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. And you know what that means? That word straightened there means not hemmed in, it not hindered. In other words, you'll take the steps that'll keep you on the right path. Notice the next statement he said, thy steps shall not be straightened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. See, good parental involvement, good biblical teaching will help. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about the two young men that were born and given the name Charles. And I went into detail about their lives. One of them, as a very young infant, was tossed around from home to home. At the age of 16, his mother sold him for a pint of beer. His grandparents purchased him back and couldn't do anything with him. He was just, they took him from psychiatrist to psychiatrist. He was in and out of reformatories and all kind of penitentiaries and eventually got involved in what was called the Helter Skelter, the Manson gang. His name was Charles Manson. Then there was another Charles who was born to a godly woman who was not only the wife of a preacher but the daughter of a preacher. Of men of faith, of men of prayer, of men that had the power of God. And this Charles grew up to be a part of a founder of a movement that shook two continents that was called Methodism, that we know as the Methodist Church. His name was Charles Wesley. And we have several songs that he has written over, listen, thousands of songs that this man wrote to glorify God. Charles Wesley. What was the difference? Well, we could say the grace of God, and certainly that is the difference. Don't misunderstand me. But can I tell you that the parental involvement has a lot to do with the way your children's going to turn out? See, when God places that bundle of eternity in our arms, when God places that human life in our care, He gives us the responsibility to help them find the path. And then there comes a time when the children, the young people, when you get to that place, you just have to choose what you've been taught to do is right. Do right. Old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right, though the stars fall. Do right. Brethren, if there's ever a day that we need folks just to step forward and do right, God knows it's the day in which we live. Amen. Just do right. There ought to be something in all of us that would cause us to just want to do the right thing because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and there's a God in heaven. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Notice what this father also taught in verse number 13. Are you there? Proverbs 4 verse 13. Take fast hold of instruction and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path. There it is again, the path. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. What's Dad saying? Dad's saying, son, stay away from the wrong influence. Stay away from the wrong people. Stay away from the wrong places. Listen, it's very, very hard to be with the wrong people in the wrong place and do the right thing. It rarely, if ever, happens. You say, well, preacher, you don't have to worry about me. My dad's one of them strict dads. Well, you ought to go home and praise. Well, you don't have to go home. You ought to come down to this altar and praise God for it. You praise God that Dad tells you there's a right way and a wrong way to live your life. Amen. You praise God that there's a right music and a wrong music that you should and should not listen to. There's right media. There's right entertainment. There's right programming. There's right friends, quote unquote. There's just right and wrong. You praise God for a dad and a mom that will lay some restrictions and some guidelines and some parameters and some guardrails in your life to help you as you choose the right pathway of life. One day that won't be there. No. One day dad won't be there to say, nah, son, don't do that. So you'll be out on your own. One day mom and dad won't be there. One day you'll be out on your own, and that's where your character's got to shine. That's where your teaching and your training has to kick in. And it's going to be very important that you not only listen, but you receive the instruction from your parents, from your preacher, from the teachers, from the authority that God places in the pathway of your life. Now here's the checklist, and I'll be through. So we have finding the right path, choosing the right path, and now following the right path. So once you get to the place where you realize I need to follow Jesus, I want my life to count for Jesus. I want to serve Jesus with my life. You found that path, you've chosen that path. Are you following that path? See, some of you sitting on the sound of my voice, your parents have trained you up. You know what's right. And you chose to get on that path. But you're wobbling on the axle. There's little to no passion burning in your heart for this person called Jesus. This way that's called righteousness. As Solomon continues on, I want you to notice what he says. There's three areas of life, and I'll just give them to you and say a word about them that'll help you follow that path. Okay? You found the path. You say, I know I'm saved, preacher. I know. I know I'm on the path of the just. I know I'm saved. I've made that choice. By the way, I want to digress just for a moment. I want to say this, okay? Isn't it amazing how that as we get older, the very things that we couldn't stand as a child, we brag about to people now that we're older. My mom made me do a lot of things when I was a kid. And some of them were embarrassing to me. I mean, they were embarrassing. I had to wash dishes and wash clothes and fold clothes. I thought, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. You know, I mean, my mom would literally come to the back door and holler out at me, Dale, I'd be shooting basketball with my buddies now. Fifth, sixth grade. Dale, get in here. You didn't fold them clothes. And I think, oh my goodness. You know. Say something that involves a hammer or a drill or something. Amen. I'm bringing up no washing machine. I got to go to school with these people. Right? Some of you know what I'm talking about. But you know what? As I got older, I began to take those things that was an embarrassment to me that I thought was such an infringement on my youth and what I should have been doing. And I began to brag on them because I realized they shaped character in my life. They really made me who I am today in many ways. Now listen, I take nothing from the grace of God because you know that I know I am what I am by the grace of God. But that parental involvement of my mother and grandmother, brethren, it's there, and it's there with all of us. And it's there with the next generation. It's important that we get involved in the teaching and the training of our children. And I want to say even our grandchildren. It's mentioned right here in this chapter. And so if you have a godly dad and a godly mother, don't you complain about that. You praise God for that. You praise God that you've got a mom and a dad that is willing to invest their interest, their time, and all that they are into the life that is you. You praise the Lord for that. Don't ever take that for granted. It's very important. One day you'll be glad that they stood right in front of you and said, nope, you're not going. But oh, I said no. Now get in there before something happens you don't want to happen. You'll be glad for that. You say, I can't see that happening. Well, I couldn't either where I was that day because I was where you were. But one day you'll be where I am. And you'll see it differently. You will. You'll thank God for a parent that learned the word no and kept you from some situations that could have caused great heartache in your life. And mom and dad, don't be afraid to tell them no. Don't be afraid to set up some parameters and some guidelines. It's needed. It's needed. God has set some parameters and guidelines. Let's look at these things. I want to give you three things. Number one, guard your heart. All right, I'll just go through these. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. Keep it. That's what that word keep is. It's a garrison. It's a guard. It's like a fence. Put a fence around your heart. Put a guard around your heart. Be careful what you let into your heart. Now, I'm not talking about that organ that pumps blood in your body and through your body. I'm talking about the center of our being, who we are, what we think, how we think, what determines the course of our action, our heart. And here's a father telling his son, guard your heart, son. Don't just look at anything. Don't just listen to anything. Once it gets in there, it's hard to get it out. Guard it. Guard where you go. Guard who you're with. Guard what you do. Because once it becomes a part of who you are, it's very, very difficult to get beyond that. And there's adults in our congregation tonight that one by one could stand and say, Solomon surely was a man of wisdom, and God was surely on him when he wrote that verse of scripture. Would to God that I would have guarded my heart more as a young man and understood the importance of what goes in the eye gate and the ear gate, where I allow my feet to carry me and what I allow my hands to do. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, he said, for out of it are the issues of life. You'll begin to do and say and be what you see and hear and become involved with. Guard your heart. Number two, verse number 24, he said, not only guard your heart, but govern your lips. You know, somehow I wish that we could set up a speaking class here at the church and teach our children proper and improper words. Parents, don't allow your children to use vulgarities and profanities and this vain language that's going around in our society today. Don't allow it. Teach your children to use proper words, to use proper manners, to govern their lips. I was speaking with a young man just a couple of days ago, and he attends church here, good young man, but he's never had any training. I don't say that to be mean toward him. It's just the facts. And I asked him about two questions, and he said, yep. And I thought, well, you know, maybe he's off his game today. I don't know. And so I asked him another question. He said, yep. I said, you know, I think the next time you ask me that way, I'm going to reach over and punch you. And he just looked at me. And I said, what's wrong with yes, sir? You know what his answer was? Okay. I wanted it to be yes, sir, Brother David, so bad. I did. He said, okay. And I just kind of shook my head and thought, this is going to take some time. Amen. But I'm working with him. Parents, teach your children. And I told him, I said, that's yes, sir. No, sir. Please. Thank you. May I? Just good common courtesies. Where have they gone? What's happened? Hey, this is a part of what David's saying here. Look at it again in verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth. That word froward there, it means, I looked it up, it means deceitful. And he said, put away from thee perverse lips. Put far from thee. That word means devious. Put away deceitful and devious, void and vain and empty speech. Put that stuff away from you. Remember, I may have told this story before. When I was assistant pastor at Bethel Baptist, there was a young lady in our youth group, and Sharon and I would have our youth over. Brother John would remember this, and Sister Doris, we'd have the youth over every Sunday after church, or some Sundays we'd go to nursing home, and we'd bring them over, feed them pizza, and do things with them. And there was this one young lady, and I think this was in vogue back then, you know, and I said something to her, and she said, yeah, I know what you mean, dog. And I said, what? What did you say? She said, I see where you're coming from, dog. And I said, let's get a few things straight here, okay? Number one, anybody calling me a dog is not going to eat food I buy. Amen. In case it comes out of a kennel bow. So, amen. I'm not your dog. She said, well, I didn't mean that disrespectful. I said, well, I took it that way. I don't know how somebody could call you a dog and you not take it disrespectful. I don't understand. Somebody help me out here. Amen. I mean, how are you going to call somebody a dog and it not be, I mean, you know, well, I didn't mean that in a bad way. I don't know any other way to take it. Teach your children proper language. Don't let them buy into this trash of society. Teach them good manners. Ah, well, preacher, it's just a passing fad. Well, good, then they won't need it for that length of time it's going to stick around. Teach them the right way. Manners are always in style.
Amen.
Amen. Good, sound speech is always in style. So number one, guard your heart, verse 23. Number two, govern your lips. And then finally, in verse 25, he says this. He said, guide your eyes. Now, you have to be careful the way you let your eyes wander in this old world. You do. But I tell you, everywhere you turn your head, there's just something that makes you want to turn another way. And then you turn the other way and you want to turn to just, listen, there's just all kinds of trash everywhere. So here we are being instructed to guard our hearts and yet, and to guide our eyes, but it's getting more and more difficult. We have to really be aware and we have to be a watch. And he said this in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Stay focused is what he's saying. Stay focused. Stay focused on the goal, young people. This is what dad is telling his son. One day life is going to come to a close. Oh, I understand you don't realize that right now. I get it. I was there. I understand that. You don't think about the end of life when you're 10, 12, 15, 20, 25. But as you begin to get older, if God in his grace favors you with age, you will begin to realize this life does come to a close. And you do not want to come down to the close of your life having lost your focus and your vision and your purpose that God had for you. Stay focused. Stay focused. It's important. It's important. You come down to the close of your life, you don't want to look over and say, oh, I wished I would have. Dr. Thompson and I were talking some time ago, and there's so many people I've stood by their bedside and I've had them tell me, oh, Pastor, I wished I would have. And they began to tell me the regrets of lives that they've lived and miss opportunities, how they lost their focus. You don't want that to be your story. It doesn't have to be. Thank God you can come to the close of your life and look back over and say, by the grace of God, I'm glad that I did. It doesn't have to be, I wished I would have. You can say, by the grace of God, I'm glad that I did. I kept my focus, right? I kept my focus. So guide your eyes, govern your lips, guard your heart, and take the right path in life. There is a right path. It's a path that God's mapped out for you. And I pray that you would follow it. Well, that's a message God's laid on my heart for this evening. And I pray that we would take it and that we would make it a part of practice in our daily life. Parents, get involved in the lives of your children now. Children don't just become good young men and young ladies. They have to receive training and instruction. We're working diligently to train your children here at this church to be ushers and pianists and vocalists and teachers. We want to teach our young people to serve God with their life. Help us. Help us. You get involved as a dad and a mom, and many of you are, and I praise God for it. But stay involved. And understand the importance of not just telling your children, but teaching them and leading them and showing them by the life that you live. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to ask the pianist to come.